Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Summer, we bless the Liverpool. Me a running out the blessings are running down. Me a dead. Imagine cause I'm tossing out the cup around over what it's to be.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
I'm in the priest. Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm dead, so be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
Yo, let me preach. Hey, let me wake up early this morning. Outside, no thunder and storming. But then me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes late from the storm starts.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed, and I'm so glad that you have tuned in with me tonight or in the afternoon, whenever you're listening to this message. Once again, we are studying the Word of God together, and I'm so glad to join you. I've actually not been on the air for a couple of weeks, but I see that some of you have been listening to the archived recordings, and that is such a blessing. Once again, we are studying about God's purpose for your life, and our topic tonight is, what does God say about justice and vengeance? What does God say about justice and vengeance? I believe the word has been coming up lately all over the country. Perhaps it is a regular message around the world, you know, justice, vengeance. What is that all about? What does God think about it? And so I thought tonight that we would address vengeance and justice and how God looks at all of that and perhaps address the fact that some of our people from the Bible thought much about justice, and they were always trying to get God to give them justice. And so if you have great thoughts about this, why don't you study with me tonight and call some of your friends and tell them about this message, and let's study the Word of God together. Bow your head and let us pray. Father, we just give you glory, honor, and praise. We magnify your holy name. I thank you, dear Lord, because you are truly wonderful, and I bless you and honor you. I thank you so much for being a light on my path, Lord God. You have directed me for a very long time, and I just thank you. And I pray, oh God, for all the listeners that will hear this message. I pray that you would bless them. I pray, oh God, that they would understand how you feel about justice and vengeance. And I pray that they would understand that you love them and care about them very much. I thank you, Lord God, for all the listeners. Lord, I pray for them, whatever country they're living in, oh God. Father, those in the African nations, those in the Middle East, those in the Caribbean nations, oh God, those over in Asia, Australia. Father, oh God, in countries that I might not even remember, oh God, or know their names, oh God. Lord, you know your people all over the world. And I pray, oh God, all over the world and those in the United States, Lord God, that you would bless them, that you would keep them, that you would strengthen them. Lord God, we just thank you because you care about us, oh Lord. And we thank you for being such a kind and loving God, caring about every area of our lives, caring about every challenge that we face. We thank you, Lord God, that we never face anything alone. but God, that you are always with us. And Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise right now, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Dear friend, like I said, I'm so glad that you've joined me tonight. We're going to be looking at just a few scriptures, and I want to start by reading you Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning at verse 16 and going all the way to chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts, even one thing befalleth them. As the one died, so died the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man had no preeminence above a beast, for all his vanity. All go unto one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to the dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth?" So, dear friend, I want you to understand that Solomon put a lot of thought into his decisions, into thinking about man and what is the point of man's life and his living, and how the thoughts that he put were, he questioned a lot of times the actions of man and how all was vanity. In other words, one of these days we're going to die. We die, the animals die, we place them in the earth and they, you know, deteriorate. We place human beings into the earth and they deteriorate. And the only difference between us and the animals is that our souls go back to God. So our spirit does not stay there. It goes back to God because we were made in the image of God. And so Solomon really pondered about the things of God, and he pondered about us and our behavior, the things that we did. And one of the things that he said is that all is vanity. In other words, all of us, one of these days, will stand before God and be judged. Because we know that the Bible says that he is the one that will repay. And so we also can look at Ecclesiastes 4, verse 1. It says, "So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. Wherefore I praise the dead which are already dead, more than the living which are yet alive. Yea, better is he than both they which had not yet been, who had not seen the evil work that is done under the sun." And so, when Solomon looked at the vanity of man and the behavior, the attitudes, and what have you, he said that his thoughts were that those who are not yet born and those who are gone, have already died, are really better off than these folks that are here fighting and carrying on. You see, God does not love it for people to just continue fighting and carrying on. But what he does approve of is peace. God really loves those who are peaceful. And the Bible says that God is the judge of us all. And so, what does the Bible say about justice? The Bible says that God is the judge of us all. And in other words, he is the one that takes care of each and every one of us. And that he is the one that will judge between the righteous and the wicked. We don't have to take matters into our own hands because God is the person who is still in charge. And as we go on this evening, looking at other scriptures, you will begin to understand, dear friend, that God is still in control and that he does care about what you're going through. He does care about your tears. He cares about your suffering. He cares about everything that you're going through, because Ecclesiastes 3, verse 4 also says, there is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. You see, there is a time for everything under the sun. God is still in control. God is the person who judges over the righteous and the unrighteous, and he is going to make sure that you and your family are okay. Now, again, if you turn with me to Job chapter 3, Job chapter 3, verse 11 through 19, if you recall, some very interesting things happened to Job. God allowed the fence to be moved from around his family, and Job went through some horrendous things. I mean, all his sons, his servants, his livestock, everything was suddenly taken away from him. And so Job also had to lament, and he had to ponder. He had to think about justice and whether he thought that God was still helping him. And of course, if you know the entire story and have read the book of Job, you will find that in the very end of that book, God did restore some things unto him, and he restored his wealth, and he and his wife were able to have more children and what have you. So we see that Job did smile again. After all the challenges that he had in his life, Job did, at the end of his life, he did, or not at the end of his life, but if as you read towards the end of the book of Job, you will see that God did turn things around for him, and he was able to smile again. But while he was going through his difficulties, this is what Job said. He says, why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me, or why the breast that I should suck? So Job began to question his own mortality. When people go through difficult times in their lives, sometimes they begin to question their own mortality. And this is what Job began to do. He said, you know, life is difficult. Life is challenging. I don't know why I'm going through this. And so I wish that my mother had not even fed me when I was born. I wish that God had not even allowed me to come on this earth, because things are so difficult. So when we think in terms of just and justice and what's going on in our personal lives, sometimes it makes us question some things about, well, God, why did you allow me to be born if I was going to have to go through this? Or why did you allow me to be challenged in this way? I want you to know that it's perfectly normal to have questions for God. It's perfectly normal to, you know, get despondent occasionally. The challenge is that when you do get in these types of moods, you need to try and shake it off as quickly as it comes, because sometimes it is really an attack of the enemy trying to oppress your mind, trying to oppress your spirit, and you've got to be able to recognize that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and that he wants to attack you in such a way that will make you give up on God. But dear friend, I want you to know that it does not matter what challenges you face. Never, ever give up. Hold on to God. Put your trust in God. Don't stop believing. Don't stop trusting, because God is doing something great right now on your behalf. I want you to know that Job questioned God, and many people do question God about whether God is still a God of justice and why he allows certain things to happen. But I want you to know that although I cannot explain to you in detail why God allowed your particular situation to happen to you, I want you to know that he is still in control and that everything happens for a reason. And though our hearts go out to families that suffer, our hearts go out to our friends who suffer, our hearts go out to our loved ones who suffer, the bottom line is that the way to encourage someone is to continue directing them towards God, because God is still our helper. He is still our shade. He is still our strong fortress. He is still the person that we can depend on. Never, ever let despondency get you down in such a way that you stop praying or you stop believing in God, because God is the one that can bring you through the difficult times in your life. And he did say that there is no other name under heaven given among us whereby we must be saved. And that person is Jesus Christ. He is the person that you must put your trust in. He is the person that you should pray to. And so Job questioned God, you know, about the cares of this world, about life, about justice. You know, he questioned God because he said, if I have to go through this, why was I even born? Why does God allow me to go through difficult times? Why does God allow me to go through something like this? And, you know, he did question God, but I want you to know that although he questioned God, the end result was that he still made it through his difficulty. He still survived it, because God will not give you more than you're able to bear. Look at verse 12. It says, why did the knees prevent me? Or why the breast that I should suck? For now I should have been laying still and been quiet. I should have slept, then I had been at rest. He says, you know, if his mother didn't feed him breast milk, if his mother did not feed him and they left him out to die someplace, he would have already been dead and he would have not have to go through this. You know, many times in your life, you might think like that too. You might say, you know, if God had just not allowed me to continue living, I wouldn't have had to go through this. But dear friend, I want you to understand that everything that you have gone through, everything that you are going through now, there is a purpose for it. God still has a purpose and a plan for your life. Don't give up so easily. Don't throw in the towel so easily, because God still is in control. He loves you very much. He cares about you, and he wants you to live a fruitful and a prosperous life. But if you give up too soon, you will not see what the end of the race will be like. Don't give up now, dear friend. God is still in control, and justice will be served. You can believe that. Verse 13 says, for now I should have lain and been quiet, I should have slept, and then had I been at rest. With kings and counselors of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves, or with princes that had gold, who filled their houses with silver, or as an hidden untimely birth I had not been, as infants which never saw light. There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. And so he is making reference to heaven. Heaven is a place where the wicked can trouble you no more, and where the weary be at rest. You know, sometimes we get weary in this world, but we realize that we are seeking a better place. We are pilgrims passing through this place, and this is not our final resting place. One of these days we seek that heavenly place, that place where the streets are paved with gold, and where God himself said that he shall be our light. I want you to know, dear friend, that there is such a place. Do not be discouraged. Verse 18 says, there the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor. I want you to know that there is a place where even those that are bound and shackled can be at rest. So what does God say about justice? God believes in justice. He does set everything in order in this world to make sure that the oppressed are taken care of, to make sure that those who are wrong, that justice is served. So don't you worry. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to talk about it. You don't have to lament over it. Understand this, that God is still in control, and that where there has been wrong, God will make it right, because he himself is in control. We can't be in control because we are not God. But God himself said that he will work it all out. He will work it out. So, three things I want you to know. God believes in justice for those who are oppressed. Even when someone has been wronged, God will work it out in his own way. And three, God promised to handle it himself. He said that vengeance is his. How do we know that? Psalms 103, verse 6, it says, the Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. That's what Psalms 103, verse 6 says. The Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. And so when we look around us, you know, we live in a fallen world. In other words, we're not in the Garden of Eve anymore. Adam and Eve had to be driven out. And so we live in an imperfect world where we have to witness evil things that happen all around us, things that we say, wow, that was not right or that was not just. And we look at those things and we say, wow, you know, well, God, where are you? What are you, you know, why aren't you trying to stop this from happening? But understand this. These things happen just for right now. But there is a day of judgment coming when the small and the great, the rich and the poor, everyone will stand before God. Those who are young as well as those who are older, those who are of the age of consent where they know right from wrong, they will all stand before God and be judged for the things that they have done on this earth. So don't worry. Understand this. Psalms 103 verse 6 says again, I'll say it one more time, the Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. What does God think about justice? He says, I will take care of it. All who are oppressed, all who have been wronged, all who think that, wow, this should not have happened to me or this should not have happened to my friend or my family member, understand that God will execute righteousness and judgment when it is time. It cannot happen before time, but it will happen in God's timing. God is going to work it out. God is going to help you, dear friend. God is going to help your family member. So don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 17 through 19, the Bible says, recompense no man evil for evil. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Verse 18. I'm in Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If it be possible, as much as light in you, live peaceably with all men. Live peaceably with all men. What does that mean? That means that even when people around you are unjust, you should be kind to them. You should be considerate to them. You should pray for them. Look at verse 19. It says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Now, I want you to look at that carefully, dear friend. What does God say about justice and vengeance? He says, avenge not yourselves. Don't take matters into your own hands. He said, give place unto wrath. That means just leave it alone. God is going to handle it. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. I really want you to take a look at that. He says, I will repay. He didn't say you repay. He didn't say you go and get the person back. He says, I will repay. That means that God himself can handle your problem. God himself can handle your situation. He says, I will repay. In other words, look at verse 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Now, understand this. I know that when someone hurts you, you want to hurt them back. I know that when you have been wrong, you want to go and do something about it. But that is not the biblical concept. The biblical concept says that if someone has wronged you, pray for them. If they have done you wrong, you treat them right. Why? Because in verse 21 it says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. What do we do to people who are unjust in our society? We treat them justly. We give them an opportunity to be redeemed. Why? Because Jesus shed his blood on Calvary for the just and the unjust, that all of us should have an opportunity to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So, what does God expect us to do when someone has harmed us? He expects us to pray for them, to pray for their salvation, to pray that they will repent and change their life and change their ways. He does not expect us to get them back. He says, vengeance is his, he will repay. He will repay. If there's someone that you know that is angry about something unjust that has happened in our society, in our neighborhood, speak to them. Let them know that the way to handle it is not to try to get someone back. The way to handle it is to pray. Dear friend, we need to live peaceably with all men. That means that we must pray. We must seek the face of the Lord. We must ask God to touch our nations. We must pray for the nations of the world and ask God to intercede. Jesus is able to touch. He is already sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. He is our high priest. He is already praying on our behalf, and we need to now pray. We already know that Jesus is backing us, and so we need to pray for the nations. We need to pray for those who are oppressed. We need to pray for those who have been wronged, because we know that God himself will and can handle it. Tell your friends, don't worry about it. God's got this. Tell your friends, just, you know, leave it alone. God is going to handle it. Why? Because he said, be not overcome of evil. That means don't let evil people, don't let situations, don't let problems get you in such a state of mind that you do the wrong thing. Keep your mind clear. Keep your mind pure. Keep your mind holy. For God has called us, dear friend, unto holiness. And when we don't allow the things of this world to overshadow our thoughts, then we can live good Christian lives. And when I say good Christian lives, I mean live a life that is pleasing to God according to his holy word. Amen, dear friend, amen. Turn with me again to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3, and I'm still talking about what does God say about justice and vengeance? What does God say about justice and vengeance? Well, let's look at an example in the Bible where the Bible makes reference to Solomon praying for God to direct him. And I want you to see that when you pray and ask God to direct your life, how God will give you wisdom and you will be able to justly deal with matters in this world. The cares of this life, God will give you wisdom. He'll show you how to justly deal with the people around you and with your personal circumstances. And so let's look at 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning at the third verse. The Bible says, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. So he loved God with all his heart, but he was not perfect. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast shown unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day." Now, I want you to notice in verse 6 some prerequisites to having God's mercy. Notice it says, David, who was Solomon's father, he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart. So David, after he got himself together, he lived in truth when he was king. He was righteous, meaning that his actions were lined up with what God wanted, and his heart was upright. Now, I want you, if you study the life of David, you'll find that one of the reasons why he was called, or it was stated that he had an upright heart, was the fact that David knew how to say that he was sorry. He always knew when he was wrong, and so it was recorded that he had an uprightness in heart because he always knew how to say sorry. And I hope that you are like that too, dear friend. I hope that when you make a mistake or you are not correct, that you know how to say sorry. Now, the Bible says in verse 9, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" So Solomon asked God for a discerning heart, to be able to discern between good and bad. Now listen to God's response, verse 10. "And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." Now, I want you to pay careful attention to this, dear friend. God asked Solomon what he wanted because his life was pleasing to God. Solomon did not ask to be rich. He did not ask for God to kill his enemies. I want you to pay attention to that. What Solomon asked for was just enough knowledge to be able to judge the people. In other words, when they came to him with their problems, he needed to be able to know how to judge them and do it wisely. And God was so happy with his request that God said that he was going to make him the wisest man in the world. So in other words, there was not going to be any who came before him that was that wise. And after Solomon died, there was not going to be anybody else as wise as him. And we're not talking about the ability to do math, science, and all of that. We're talking about godly wisdom, the ability to be able to discern between good and bad. Now, let's look at this. In verse 14, it says, "If thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." Not only did he make him wise, but he said if he would live as well as his forefathers did, when they obeyed God and did what God said to do, he would actually make Solomon live longer than ordinarily he would live. So, dear friend, if you want long life, strength, happiness, prosperity, you must obey the voice of God and do what God has said in his word that we ought to do. Now, look at verse 15. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast of all his servants. Well, as you note just from reading about Solomon and many of the other kings, they love to throw a party. And so after God spoke to him in that dream and he realized what God was saying to him, he woke up and had a good time with his household. Now, let's look at how Solomon used his wisdom to do justice in God's name. How did Solomon use the wisdom that God gave him to justly discern good and bad among the people? Look at verse 16. It says, then came there two women that were harlots, they were prostitutes, yes, they were, unto the king, and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son whom I did bear. And the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son and the dead is thy son. And this said, no, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. So we see two women came before the king, before King Solomon. Now remember, he had just prayed and asked God to give him discernment, and God gave him the ability to act justly. And remember I said, the Lord said vengeance is his. So if someone wrongs you, God is going to find a way to fix it for you. You don't have to take matters into your own hands. And so look at this. The Bible says Solomon looked at the two women and considered it, and God gave him the knowledge of what to do. Look at verse 23. Then said the king, the one said, this is my son that liveth, and the son is the dead. Thy son is the dead. And the other said, nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. The king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel, verse 28, heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Dear friend, take note of this. Take note of this. Solomon was given great wisdom by God to know how to judge the people. And when they brought these two ladies before him, he asked God, and God gave him the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to be able to judge between these two women. He was about to cut the baby in two, and the woman whose child it really was said, no, 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 please don't kill the child. But the one whose child was already dead did not care. And so the one who stopped the king from dividing the child, God gave her favor, and Solomon went ahead and gave her back her baby. Now, I want you to understand this. God saw the heart of this woman. He saw her longing after her baby. And he went ahead and allowed King Solomon to discern and to be able to give her back her child. I want you to know, dear friend, that the Bible says God has already declared that vengeance is his. And so, whatever you're going through, just like this woman, how her roommate tried to kill her baby, not only tried to kill her baby, but, you know, first wanted to raise it as her own son. And then when they were before Solomon, she didn't care if the baby died or not. Of course, because her baby was already dead. I want you to know, dear friend, that there are some things in your life that you might feel like you're struggling with on your own. But what does God say about justice and vengeance? God says that he would handle it. God says that he is a just God and that he would take care of the issues of your heart. So don't be distressed. Don't be angry. Don't be disappointed. Just put your trust in God. And if you have a friend who is struggling in this area, they, you know, want to get other people back for what they have done to them. They want to stir up all types of trouble. I want you to know, dear friend, that you don't have to do all of that. Put your trust in God, because he already said that vengeance is his. He will be repaid. Remember, Romans chapter 12, verse 21 says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Overcome evil with good. Dear friend, it does not matter what anyone does to you, what they try to do to you. Put your trust in God, because God said that he will take care of you. Amen. Hallelujah. It's so wonderful to know that God will take care of us. We don't have to struggle on our own. We don't have to be discouraged, because God will take care of us. He will meet every need, and he said that vengeance is his. Dear friend, don't run down the street and do something that you shouldn't do. Don't run to someone's house and do something that you shouldn't do. Treat them well, because God is going to handle that situation himself. Bow your head and let us pray. Dear Lord, we just give you glory, honor, and praise. We bless you. We lift up your holy name. I thank you tonight, God. I thank you for those that listen to me around the world, that listen to this Bible study. I pray, oh God, that you would bless them. I speak to that one right now that's having trouble hearing out of their left ear. I pray that you would heal right now. I pray for that one that has a pinched nerve in their back. I pray that you would heal right now. I pray for that one that's struggling, oh God, because of tumors in their body. I pray that you would heal right now. Lord, I know that you're able to heal mental health issues, oh God. Oh God, heal that one that's struggling with mental illness right now. I know that you're able to heal. Heal that one that's struggling with diabetes right now. Bless right now. Heal right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God. You hear us when we pray. Oh God, we thank you right now for loving us, for caring about us. You know everything about us, oh God, and we know, oh God, that we can put our trust in you. Oh God, remember that one that's crying right now. Oh God, encourage them. Remember that one that's struggling right now. Give them strength, oh God. Lord, I thank you for allowing us to study the Word of God. I thank you for allowing us the privilege of meeting you, oh God, day by day at your throne. Oh God, at your altar. Oh, touch right now. Move in a special way, Lord. I thank you right now. I bless you right now. Remember your people, oh God. Strengthen them, Lord. Oh God, strengthen them, Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank you right now. We give you glory. We give you honor, Lord. You are righteous and you are holy. Oh God, and we bless you right now. We honor you, Jesus. Touch your people once again. You know every need that they have, oh God. You know every prayer request. And Lord God, I know that you can meet every need. Bless right now, God. Remember your people, oh God, I pray. I thank you right now for your touch. I thank you right now for giving them peace, for giving them calm, for giving them joy right now. Oh, Father God, you know what's going on all around us, God. You know the challenges we face, oh God. Oh, Father, but you said that you would be there to help us through every step of the way, oh God. And Lord, we thank you right now. We bless you right now. Touch your son right now. Touch your daughter right now. Oh, God, I know that you can do it. And, Lord, I thank you, Lord God. Oh, Father, encourage that pastor right now. Encourage that pastor's wife right now. Encourage that female minister right now. Lord God, you know all about their struggles. We know, God, that you're able, oh, God, to touch. Remember those, oh, God, on their communist countries, oh, God, that are struggling to worship, God. Those in the Middle East, oh, God, that are struggling, oh, God, to serve you. Lord God, touch right now. Lord, I know that you're able, oh God, to deliver. You're able to set free. Remember those that are incarcerated right now, Lord God. Father, oh God, that are looking, oh God, for you to help them, Lord Jesus. Oh God, I pray that you would touch right now. Father, bless them. Strengthen them. Oh God, we thank you that we're never alone. Oh God, but that you are there with us to help us and to guide us. And Lord, we just say thanks to you right now. Bless your people, Lord God. Bless them right now. And Father, we just give you glory, honor, and praise for what you have already done in the name of Jesus. Dear friend, I want you to know that the Bible says, in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Dear friend, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to make that decision tonight. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. And realize this, that God loves you, he cares about you, and he cares about every area of your life. Our closing thoughts are, persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. There's no such thing as can't. And what you believe, you can achieve. Dear friend, be encouraged, be strengthened. God loves you. He cares about you. He cares about your family. And just remember, don't take things into your own hands. Remember that God is still in control. And he says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. So don't worry about what's going on around you. God sees the innocent. He sees the oppressed. And God will take care of it. God will handle it. And when we take matters into our own hands, what we're saying is that we're taking the place of God. Dear friend, you cannot take God's place. God is who he is. He is the Almighty God. Let him handle your business, because I guarantee you, if you let him handle it, it's going to work out in your favor. Dear friend, if you want favor today, let God handle your business, and you will see that the windows of heaven will open up and bless you. God bless you, dear friend. May the peace of God be with you and your family as you continue on the rest of this week. I hope to study with you again on tomorrow night, and I pray that you would have a blessed evening as we listen to a little bit of music prior to closing tonight. I pray that you would be blessed. you were listening to Dijon. Listen again to Second Chance Ministries, one of my favorite songs, I've Decided. Well, dear friend, have you decided to make Jesus your choice? So many people, they choose other things, but Jesus should be the number one choice for you. He loved you, died on the cross for you. As we get ready to close another program, dear friend, I pray that you have been blessed. You have been listening to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed. I want you to know that I just went ahead and got, I'm working on getting the nonprofit up and running, Faith with Vision International Ministries. You'll be hearing more about it as the weeks go on. But I pray that you and your family are blessed. May the peace of God be with you tonight and forevermore. We're closing with our usual song, Second Chance, Too Blessed to Be Stressed.
Ah! Mr. Summer, we're blessed till we're fools. Me a funny girl, the blessings are running back. Me a dead, imagine close and fast, I can't stop for a rope, I'm going to be.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
I'm a priest. Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. In my life, a pure peace and happiness. In my face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm dead to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
Yo, let me preach. Hey, let me wake up early this morning. Outside, no thunder and storming. But then me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes late and the storm start coming. Don't you know God is in full control? Nobody sit down in a chair with your hands full. Nobody make Satan make you feel cool. Everybody in the place and shine like real cool. Me want everybody in the place to get hot. Like Jamaican food in a dust pot. And from the nose, the devil can't touch that.